You know, before I get going too much, you know, I talk often about the fact that I firmly believe that nobody's here by accident. I don't believe anybody shows up here just because you took a wrong turn or you had nothing better to do. I think you're here by divine appointment. I think my God is in control of things enough to know that you are exactly where it is that you need to be so he can do exactly with you what he wants to do. So having said that today, this week we're going to continue on something we started talking about last week. We were in Matthew 7, and we were looking at verses 24 through 27. And what we're going to talk about this week is the storms of life. And I want you to consider, again, before I get going too much, I want you to consider why you're here again. I want you to think about the fact that today, this message is for you. And I have no idea what your situation is, but as I think about facing the storms in life, you know what? I am willing to bet that every person here right now, you are facing some sort of storm. I believe I can say that with absolute confidence. Because as I look across the community and even in my own home, I mean, if you're not facing an economic storm, which I think nearly all of us are, then you're facing a physical storm. Something wrong with your body or your physical health. Or maybe it's relationships. You know, but we are all right now in the midst of these storms. So I just firmly believe that you are here again for a purpose. And that purpose is because God wants to share with you something very particular. And not just so you can, you know, spend an hour on Sunday and feel like you did the right thing, but so that on Tuesday, when you're standing in the middle of the storm, you can look back and the Holy Spirit can remind you in your heart of the truth that you heard. And then you can apply that to your life. Because if we don't apply it, believe me when I tell you, we're just spinning our wheels. We're just wasting our time. It'd be better to sleep in. If you don't apply it, it's not worth anything. And I want to continue to talk about this morning. So again, last week, we were in Matthew chapter 7. This thing's giving me problems here. Matthew chapter 7. And we're looking at the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I told you last week that these last couple verses are pretty much like Christ's altar call. It's like the altar call to the greatest sermon that was ever given. All right, this is the moment. This is where it all comes together. And Jesus uses a challenging illustration to show us exactly what he's trying to say. What he's been teaching on for the last two chapters, he uses this illustration to really bring it all home. All right? And it's an illustration that he knew would be very, very realistic and very easy for those people around him to understand. And it would challenge those folks who were standing there right then. But my challenge to you is, allow this message to challenge you today as well. 2,000 years later, the words of Christ should still be challenging our hearts just like they were the day that he spoke them. So be challenged today. If you're ready for that, open up your Bibles to Matthew 7. We're going to go to verse 24. We're going to look at this passage one more time. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash." Last week, we spent almost the entire time looking at verse 24. You know, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice." We talked the entire time about the importance, okay, of hearing the words of Christ. About how we hear the words of Christ. And then we talked about the inseparable connection between Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his word. And the Holy Bible. How those things are one and the same. How when we ignore or choose to put on the back burner our time in the Word, what we're doing is we're saying, "Jesus, I don't have time for you." That's what you're saying. So we talked a lot about that last week, and when we looked at John 1:1, where John makes that connection so very clear when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John understood it. I hope this morning I'm talking to a congregation who you get that. You understand that Jesus Christ and the Word, they are inseparable. They are one and the same. And we concluded last week by examining Jesus' command to not only hear the Word, to not only be in the Word of God, to not only spend time allowing the Word of God to be in you, to not only hear it, but also to put that truth into practice. To put it to use. To put the rubber on the road. You got to do something with it after you've heard it. Now, I really hope this last week that the Holy Spirit has been challenging you to be transformed by the Word of God. I hope that this last week you spent some time, again, not only in the Word, but allowing the Word to be in you. And I hope in that time, the Holy Spirit has been kind of challenging you and transforming you. Paul writes very clearly that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. By being in the Word and allowing the Word to wash out all that junk and that garbage in our minds and to be renewed onto the good things, onto the holy things. Okay, so I hope you've been challenged like that. So we talked a lot now about foundations. And that was all last week. And now with a clear foundation, with our solid foundation laid, and the only one that counts is where? The only foundation that counts is what? Jeez, okay, I got a few people who were listening last week. Thank you. All right. The only foundation that counts is the rock. The rock of Jesus Christ. That's the only one that you can build upon. So with that foundation in mind, this week, we're going to start to look at those storms. We're going to take a look at those storms. And there's something very quickly that you need to realize about these storms. And that's this, that in the text and the illustration that Jesus uses, he draws a picture of two homes. And to be honest with you, there's no real difference in the homes. I mean, if you were just looking at them from the road, they would look identical. No real difference. But when you looked a little deeper, you would see the critical difference in these two homes. You would see the difference in their foundations. And foundations, as we've been discussing, make all the difference in the world. In Luke's account of this same illustration, it's found in Luke chapter 6, 48. Just make a note of that next to where you're at in your word right now. But it says this. It says about the wise man, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Now, if you were back in Israel 2,000 years ago hearing this, you would get it. That would make sense. Okay, because you understood the place that you lived. But here we are now, 2,000 years later, and many thousands of miles removed. So maybe we need a little bit of help understanding this idea. All right. What most people probably know, as you think about Israel, as you think about where Christ was teaching, is that the soil there is rocky, sandy. Okay. I mean, you kind of have a mental picture of what Israel looks like. All right. And that's exactly true. Most parts of Israel are covered with a rocky, sandy soil. And every year, rains come into the land. And every year when the rains have gone and the water is kind of dried up a little bit, it leaves the soil looking very firm. I mean, it looks really solid. It kind of settles down. And it looks really, really solid. In fact, it looks solid enough that you might even be comfortable building on it. But the problem you face is that the next year, when the rains come back, guess what happens? It washes it all away. It washes all that rocky soil away, and guess what gets washed away with it? Whatever you built. Whatever you built on it, it's gone. But what many people do not know is that in that same land, if you dig down, if you dig deep in that land, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a stone bedrock. You're going to find a solid bedrock. Now, don't get me wrong, at times you got to dig deep. There's parts of that land where you got to dig through 8 to 10 feet of rocky, sandy soil to get to that bedrock. But if you'll do that and you'll use that as your foundation, you'll build your home upon that. When the rains come, and they do come. When the rains come, guess what? Your home, it'll stand. It's going to stand. The other important point here is this. Not only are the homes the same, but the storms come to both places. Now, Christian, we've all kind of sat here, and I challenge you to think about it. You're probably in the midst of a storm right now. You're probably, without even thinking too hard, you know the storm that you're in right now. Storms come to non-believers and to believers. The scripture clearly says the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did it to both houses. You will face storms in life. Anybody, okay, who tries to tell you that just because you have faith in Jesus Christ means that you will not face storms, you need to be very careful. Because they're probably trying to sell you something. Okay? You do face storms. You will face storms, even as a believer. You will nowhere in the Word of God, you will nowhere find a promise that says you get out of all the storms. It's not in here. It's nowhere in this book. From Genesis to Revelation, God doesn't say that. But in Isaiah 43, you make a note of this as well, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, listen to what God does say. God says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." You hear me? Okay, let's do it again. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." God is first and foremost clarifying who he's talking to. He is talking to someone who has been redeemed. And the only way you're redeemed is by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, if that's you, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. We're celebrating Father's Day today, right? The greatest father any of us have is our Father in heaven. And he has summoned you by name, and he wants you to be clear about the point that you belong to him. And because of that, he says that when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. He says that when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Now, there's a very important truth here. And the truth is this, that you will pass through the waters. That will happen. You will find yourself in places where the water, where you're up to your neck. But even when you're there, the promise of God is that he will be with you. He isn't going to leave you. The promise is that you will pass through the river. Anybody ever try to cross a river? It's not easy. It's not easy. You will have moments in life where you're called, where you're standing at that riverbank and you know you got to go through it. God's not just going to jump you over top of it. You got to go through it. You will pass through the river, but the promise of God is that it will not sweep over you. You will not be overcome by it. The word says you will walk through fire. That's going to happen. Some of you are walking through fire right now. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. You will walk through fire, but the promise of God is that you will not be burned. And why? Because you belong to him. Because you are his. You will walk through the fire, but you will not be burned. The promise is that for the believer, for the wise builder that we've been looking at, for the one who dug down deep and laid a solid foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ, for the one who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, for the one who has been summoned by the glorious Father in heaven and then called by his name, for you who have heard the word and you have put it to practice in your life, for you, Christian, the promise is that God will not leave you. You will face storms, but you will not face them alone. You will face hardships and trials, and the water will be deep, but it will not overcome you. You need to hear that today. But you know, the great thing is this, that even in the midst of the storms, Even, and again, most of us are there right now. Even in the midst of the storms, the struggle is all around us, and you're not sure which way to turn. The great thing is this, that God is still blessing you even while you're in the storm. He's got things in store for you even while you're there. Even during the struggle. Even during the trial. Are you interested in what some of those things are? Yeah, some people are going, Tim, I'm not seeing any of them. Well, let me share with you some of them, okay? Here's a couple of them. One, security. Security. Brother, even when the rain is coming down, and even as the wind is beating on your door, the security you have is in the fact that Jesus Christ says, your house will not fall. You've been built upon the rock. It will not fall. Christ said, I built my church upon this rock and the forces of hell will not overcome it. Your house will not fall. You have security in that. Even as you're sitting inside. Anybody ever experienced a hurricane? Some of us have, right? A lot of us have. You know, and the walls are shaking and the pictures are dropping off the wall. And you look outside and the tree in your front yard just got replanted in your truck. You know what I'm talking about? Even at that place, God's promise is your house will not fall. You can have security in that. We have security. Why? Because of the foundation. Because of what we're built upon. Another gift of God during the storms, security, strength. God gives you strength during the storms. You know, I read this week about shipbuilders. Back a long time ago. Shipbuilders, though, you know what the process they used for selecting the main mast for a ship? It's an amazing process. I thought I'd share it with you. But essentially, they go out into the forest and they find a tree that fits all the right size, you know, the right width, the right height, the right dimensions. They find that tree and then they clear out all the other trees around it. Doesn't make any sense, does it? They clear out all the other trees around it. You know why? Because then when the storms come, it forces that tree to grow stronger. It forces that tree to be able to endure. And they need strength. Because when you're out there on the ocean, those winds and those waves, that mast better be strong. But they would clear out all the other trees, and then that tree would be left there for a season. And over that season, it would gain strength. It would gain endurance. Friend, the same thing is true for us. The same thing is true for us. Sometimes, you know, people, we don't like to say, you know, well, you're out there on your own, but sometimes you are. So, you know, sometimes you run into that situation in life where you're out there on your own. There's no brother or sister around you. But God has you there for a reason. He's growing you up. He's making you depend upon Him. He's creating in you strength. Strength that you would not have otherwise. With our foundation, again, laid in Jesus Christ, we are like that tree. And even in the storms, we will gain strength. You will gain endurance. So God gives us security. And God gives us strength. But He also gives us something else. Some of my older folks here, more seasoned folks, they know about this. God gives you wisdom. God gives you wisdom in your storms. But there's something you should understand about wisdom before I go any further with it, and that's this. Wisdom is not just knowing something. That's just being smart. But that's not necessarily wisdom. Wisdom is not just, you know, hearing something. It's not just knowing something. Wisdom is when you take what you've heard, you take what you know, and you put it to use. You use it. That's wisdom. See, remember in the passage what Jesus said. He said again, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, that's the first part. Hearing the word of God, being in the word of God, studying the Bible, small groups, Bible studies, whatever it is, however you're getting it, hearing the word of God, that's the first part. But he says, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice. That person is like a wise man. That person has real wisdom. That's what wisdom is. Not just head knowledge, it's when you're able to apply it and make it life knowledge. Something that affects your life. Something that you use. See, the opposite is true also. Because he said in verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. He heard the same words. He heard the same thing. He saw all the same things. He probably studied the same book. But whoever hears those words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. The difference between being a fool and being someone who's wise, okay, the difference is not in what you heard. The difference is in what you do with it. How you enact it in your life. What are you doing with it? You're in those storms right now. We're in those storms right now. I'm not, you know, trust me, guys, we're in that boat together. You know, sometimes those waves are getting pretty high. But we're in those storms right now. But what are you doing with the words of God that you're hearing? I mean, we talked last week about you need to hear it, but what are you doing with it? Is it changing you? Is it transforming you? Is it even taking root? You know, are you putting the words of Jesus Christ to use in your life? Are you seeking, when you come on Sunday morning, to merely be informed? To hear another Bible story? Or do you walk in those doors with a desire for the Holy Spirit to transform your life? Because those are two different things. And the church has way too many people who just want to be informed. But God is calling us to be transformed. Something altogether different. So what are you doing? Are you in the Word? Are you making time? Is it got relevance, or has it got a place of importance in your life? Or have you placed it on the back burner? Again, I said this last week, and I'm just going to tell you again, you know, if you lack in your time devoted to the Word, then your life is not devoted to Christ. And I hate to be so black and white about it, but that's true. Those two things go hand in hand. To be devoted to God, which we all want to be. Everybody, well, I'm devoted to Jesus. I'm sold out to Jesus. Okay, be sold out to the Word. Be in the Word of God. Make it a living, breathing part of your life. So what are you doing? I want to close this morning with just a brief story. All right? So bear with me. But in 1174, there was an Italian architect. His name was Pisano. And he was commissioned to build what would become his greatest project. He was commissioned to build an 8-story bell tower for the city of Pisa. But there was just one little problem. Just a little small problem. The builders of that tower quickly discovered that the soil where they were building was much softer than what they had anticipated. It wasn't as solid as they thought it was. And they realized that the foundation they had laid for this 185-foot tall monument was far too shallow to adequately support the structure. So guess what happened? This bell tower in the city of Pisa, it began to lean. All right? It began to tilt, and it continued to tilt. This tower took 176 years to build. 176 years to build the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And in that time, they did all sorts of things to try to shore up a bad foundation. You know, they even, towards the end of it, you know what they did is they actually built the top couple levels at an angle to try to straighten the building out, or at least to make it look like it was straight. But eventually, when it was all said and done, what all the architects and what all the builders had to accept was that nothing could be done to fix the Leaning Tower of Pisa, to make it straight. Now, the tower stood today for over 800 years. It's been standing for over 800 years, but it leans at about 10 degrees or about 18 feet from vertical. Now, I'm not an engineer, but I've been assured of one thing, that one day, the tower will fall. One day, that tower will come crashing down. And why? Because it wasn't built on the right foundation. Will you stand with me this morning? Brother, sister, you need to check out what's going on in your life. I think I heard Adrian Rogers one time say that when everything's falling down around you, it's time to check your foundation. That's very true. But what kind of foundation do you have today? What are you building upon today? Are you hearing today and responding to the living Word of God? Is that describe your foundation? Or are you like the wise builder? Or are you just coming on Sunday and hearing another Bible story and then ignoring it for the rest of the week? Is your foundation today, when you look down and you get honest with yourself, is your foundation the unshakable, unbreakable, unconquerable rock of Jesus Christ? Or, like those architects and designers all those years ago, are you trying to build the great tower of Tim? Am I trying to build the great tower of my life on sinking sand? Like that tower, if that's my choice, it will fall. Today, when the storms of life roll in, perhaps today as you continue to face those storms, are you receiving security? Do you know security because of your foundation? Are you receiving strength? Are you growing in strength even through this struggle? Because your God has said, He is mine? Are you developing wisdom because you're taking the Word of God and you're putting it to practice in your life? Those are all things that are offered to you freely. But what are you doing? Again, what kind of foundation do you have? Have you been building like a wise builder? Or have you been building like a foolish one? Because when the storms of life come, if you've been building foolishly, your house will come down with a great crash. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the specific word that you've given us today. Lord, I thank you for the fact that this word is like an arrow in each heart in this room today. Lord, that you have pinpointed exactly where in our life we need to not only hear your word, hear your truth, but Father, that we must use it, that we must put it to practice. Father, help us to examine our foundations right now. Standing before you, God, Lord, not before other men, not before other women, not before the pastor, before the church, Lord, we place ourselves before you. Father, help us to make the right decision. For some of us, we need to tear down a lifetime worth of structures because our foundation has never been sure. And we need to make a decision today that we are going to lay the right, true, stable, the only faithful foundation of Jesus Christ. We have never done that, Father. If that heart today, Lord, lead them to you. Draw them in close to yourself. Lord, show them that you are the only foundation that is worthy. And Father, for many of us, Lord, somewhere in our past, we started building on it or we started building near to it. But Father, we've gone about our own thing now. And we're building our own way. And Lord, the storms of life are getting pretty rough. And right now, the walls are shaking. And Father, we're struggling to find security. We're struggling to find strength. And God, we definitely don't have any wisdom. Lord, guide us. Lord, remind us of your promise. That we have been redeemed. That we have a right to build upon the rock. That we don't have to settle for being neighbors to Jesus, but you give us a right to build upon Jesus. Lord, teach us that. Lord, remind us of your promise that we will face the storms, but you will not let our house fall. We need that reassurance today. Church, as you remain with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Again, I don't know the storm you face, but I'm almost positive that you're in one right now. And I would challenge you to make a decision today, again, not before me or before your neighbor, but make a decision before God. Be a wise builder. Build a house on the rock. Know the security, know the strength, know the wisdom of God. Anything less, and it will come crashing down. We'll take a few moments this morning.